may be Mexican, he may be Italian, he may be Democrat, whatever he is, let me encourage you, invite him to revival this week. Look in your Bible, please. Genesis chapter 15. I'll begin reading with verse number 7 about a man named Abraham. Genesis 15, verse 7. He said to him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. He said, Lord God, whereby shall I know I shall inherit it? He said to him, take me a heifer of 3 years old, a she-goat of 3 years old, a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove and a young pigeon. Stop. What do those animals mean? They're a picture of the coming of Jesus Christ. Christ was called the Lamb of God. Why? Because he hung on the cross and made it possible for you and I to be saved if we'd accept him. Now look in your Bible, verse number 10. Took him to him all these and divided them in the midst, laid each piece one against the other, and the birds divided he not. When the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove him away. When the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. When I was a boy, the highlight every week when I was growing up was every Sunday, every Saturday afternoon, the movies had a matinee for kids. Now, normally, it was something a great intellectual, like the Three Stooges, Abbott and Costello, but most of the time, it was westerns. Now, here's how it worked. When I went to movies back then, for 5 cents, you got in a movie. For the nickel, you got a gallon of pop and a bushel of ice cream. Now, here's the key. After you watched a few hundred western movies, certain phrases click in your mind. Sometime during the movie, the good guy tells the bad guy, I want you out of town by sundown. I can tell you right then how the movie is going to end. The last scene is this. Main Street entirely empty. The car is strumming. Around this corner comes the good guy wearing a white hat. Around this corner comes the bad guy wearing a black hat. They face each other, make the move. Two shots, right every movie I ever saw, the camera pans on the bad guy. He's standing there holding a gun. All of a sudden, he would crumble, he would fall. We'd holler, wowee! That's Don Baptist for amen, okay? The same thing. We holler, wowee! I always said, how'd the movie end? It ended with a showdown at sundown. The story I read today, it concerns Abraham, a great Christian. To come that great day in his life, a great time in your life, where you must make a decision. A decision that depends not on living or dying, greater the results, heaven or hell. Abraham, showdown at sundown. Number one, first of all, I want you to see the despondency of Abraham. Abraham is despondent. Now wait, first of all, my friend, we say we're surprised. Of all people, why would Abraham be despondent? Abraham had everything, get that, everything the world could give, Abraham had, but he still was not happy. Look in your Bible. First of all, Abraham was a great military hero. By certain military tactics, he defeated a great coalition of kings. Abraham would be like General Schwarzkopf, Desert Storm, General MacArthur, World War II. Here's a man that's a national military hero. Number two, Abraham, my friend, was popular. How popular? To this day, when they dig up over there in Palestine, they find pieces of pot shred, broken pottery. On it says this, Abram, the great man of the East. Man, he was popular. People thought, here's a great guy. Number three, Abraham was extremely wealthy. How wealthy? He gives half of his foxes and herds to his nephew Lot. With his other assets, he is still the wealthiest man on the face of the earth. He is Bill, he's Bill, you know the last name, probably your relative. Anyway, this guy has the bucks, okay? He got all kinds of money. Now wait, one more thing. Abraham is married to probably the most beautiful woman ever lived, except for your wife, of course. You realize that. Now wait, when Sarah was 90 years old, men still looked at her and desired to have her. Put it together, friend. Here was Abraham. Abraham, number one. First of all, we find here was a man that's a military hero. Number two, he's popular. Number three, he's wealthy. Number four, married to a beautiful woman. Now, wait. Look at verse 1, please. These things the word of the Lord coming to Abraham's vision saying, fear not. Everything the world could give, Abraham had. They said there's something missing. Now, why? The Bible says you consist of three parts, sir. You have a body that's visible. You have a mind. There's a third part of you. And that's the God part. But wait, the Bible says that God part is dead until you receive Christ. you was he quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin. What am I saying? If you never received Christ and he is just set in church, you're only two-thirds of a person. That's why Jesus said, I've come you might have life. There's more, and have it more abundantly. Will you hear me, friend? You can exist without Jesus Christ. You can never really live until you know the Prince alive, and that is Jesus Christ. Boy, I hope you know him. If you don't, I hope today before you leave, you'll know him. Now, number one, the surprise. Abraham's miserable. Number two, surmise. How did Abraham get rid of this misery in his life? Look in your Bible, please. Look at Genesis 15. Look over there. Genesis 15. I am the Lord that brought you. I brought the Chaldeans to give this land to inherit it. He said, Abraham, I got something more for you than you've got. I feel sorry for unsaved people. Not just because they miss their eternal destiny of heaven, because they go through life missing real life. But during this story of Abraham, in the New Testament, Jesus said, Abraham saw my day and was glad. He changed from sadness to gladness when he saw these animals being sacrificed. A picture of Christ coming and Christ dying. Abraham said, boy, I was depressed. I was discouraged. Then I got a glimpse of Christ. And that brought a new thrill, a new joy into my heart, into my life. Now, the futility of life bothered Abraham. I was preaching in Plover, Wisconsin. And one day to revival, a young lady brought her boss. The man was 32 years old, had 3 earned doctor's degrees, and managed a huge, huge plant there in Plover. The man came with this young lady, sat on my left, listened intently. After the service, she brought him up, introduced him to me. We talked a while. Pretty soon I saw him in the back. He was talking to Pastor Smith. A little later, I saw that man and Pastor Smith go in the pastor's office. The man came out, come right up to me. He said, sir, as you spoke tonight, God spoke to my heart. He said, I just went in Pastor Smith's office and received Christ. Now, that guy came back to revival every single night. One night, he brought 9 co-workers, 8 of them, walked down the aisle and got saved. I mean, the guy was just on fire for God. And what happened was, I saw Pastor Smith about 2 months later. He said, I gotta tell you something. He said, we had a great revival. We did in a church wedding 200. We had 47 people receive Christ. He said, I want to tell you something, Brother Mark. Remember the guy that I said, I don't know who you mean. He said, that guy's on fire. He said, every Sunday since revival, he brought somebody else, and most of them have gotten saved. Then he made this statement. He said, Sunday night after revival, we had testimonies. He said, testimony service lasted 2 hours. So my people were thrilled. New converts, he said, man, I mentioned, he stood up and said, on a Tuesday night, a co-worker invited me to come to your church. I came, heard a man speak, and God spoke to my heart. He said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm a scientist. He said, I want to tell you something. He said, Jesus Christ is real, and Jesus Christ is alive. He said, he has changed my life. I have joy I never had before. There's a part of me alive that was dead before. He said, at the plant, I don't know what to think of me. They come up and say, boy, you must have got a big raise. You're happy. He said, no, sir, I found Jesus Christ, and he satisfies my heart and satisfies my life. Oh, friend, if you don't know Christ, hear me, you can exist without Jesus Christ. You'll never know real living till you find Christ. Christ said this, I, not yet, things can't satisfy. I've come. You might have life. What's more? You might have it more abundantly.
Amen.
Oh, my friend, how tragedy to go through life, two-thirds of a person, after the life, miss heaven. No, Christ is the answer. Number one, first of all, we find the despondency of Abraham. Not only the futility of life, but something else here. The fatality of death. I don't like evangelists. They talk about dying. Deal, deal. Let's make a deal. You stop dying, I'll stop talking. It's true, isn't it, friend? My Bible pointed a man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Here's the Bible. I can prove it to you. The living know they shall die. Now, you know you're going to die. I don't have to emphasize that, but you know you're going to die. You say, but I've got plenty of time. Oh, let me ask you some questions, may I? If you've got plenty of time, question number one would simply be this. How come one day you went to a lawyer and got a will made out? Why didn't you wait if you're so certain you're not going to die? Question number two. If you're sure, do me a favor. Tomorrow morning, go down to your insurance agent, knock on the door, say, I want my money back. I'm canceling my policy. No. If you have an insurance policy, you admitted to a insurance agent, I might die. I'm talking to folks today, you have a prepaid burial. Oh, man, what a, you're so sure you're not going to die. Cancel that thing. Get some money back. See, the truth is this. You're lying to yourself, dear friend. You what you did, you gave money to a lawyer to make a will. Gave money to an insurance agent. You said, I might die. Gave money to a funeral home, prepaid a burial, and yet you say, I'm not going to die. You're either crazy, I'll put it nice, or not telling the truth. Because you've admitted to those other people you might die, and a preacher comes and pours his heart out and pleads with you, come to Christ. And you lie to yourself and say, I'm not going to die. Jesus said, what's the profit of man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Don't lie yourself into hell. Thank God this morning before you walk out that door, you can know that you're going to heaven. Number one, first of all, the despondency of Abraham. Number two, the dependence of Abraham. How did Abraham become a Christian? Look in your Bible at verse 6. He believed in the Lord. But first of all, I got to emphasize this. Abraham is not in heaven today because he lived a good life. Oh, what a hombre, huh? What about Abraham? Number one, first of all, Abraham has an affair with a maid. Abraham is an adulterer. Number two, it gets worse, my friend. The maid becomes pregnant and has a child. Watch that. Abraham drives the child. Get that child out. Get him out. Oh, my, his own child. He drives away. What else do we know about Abraham? Number three, Abraham disobeyed God. God said, don't go to a certain place. Abraham went. Number four, here's the height of sin. They're going into Egypt. Abraham turns to his wife and said, now, honey, these Egyptians have an eye for good-looking women. He said, oh, they might kill me to have you. He said, let's just tell them that you're my sister. How low can you go? Willing to risk his wife's virtue, his wife's life, to save his own neck. But now, wait. Today, Abraham is in heaven. That tells me something. The Bible tells you the same thing. You cannot work your way to heaven. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. In your Bible, it's a gift of God, not of works. Why do you accept a gift? You take it. Bible, the wages of sin is death. But here it is. The gift of God is eternal life. How can God give you eternal life? Because on the cross, Christ paid for your sin. And if you'll accept him, not at him, not church membership or baptism, him, he that hath the Son hath life. If you'll accept him today, you can walk out that door with a new life, a new destiny, and a new dynamic to live and serve Jesus Christ. I was preaching in a little church, Tower Hill Baptist Church, in the middle of nowhere in Illinois, a cornfield. They run 200 people. In revival there, and one night the service started, and a young man told me before the service, he said, I have a visitor coming, and I want to sit with him. The service started, the visitor wasn't there, so the young man sat with another friend over on this side that was visiting, but the unsaved man who wanted to come wasn't there yet. How with you, about 10 minutes in the service, the door opened, the visitor he was looking for came in, no seats near him, he's on the other side. I preached that night, I said, well, I say, you're not sure you're a Christian, I want to pray for you, raise your hand. The visitor here raised his hand, but the guy was shocked. The church member that was sitting with him raised his hand, he wasn't sure he was saved. I said, okay, we're going to sing a song, you want to get saved, you come and tell Pastor Randy. We started singing, the visitor over here came forward, the man that invited him over here, he got out, started to come forward, and the guy beside him grabbed him. I could see him talking. What he said was, don't go there, please, I want to talk to you. They went out the door into a Sunday school room. The guy he asked, he come and got saved that night. So back in the room, he said, yeah, what do you need? He said, I graduated from Moody Bible Institute. I went 2 years to Maranatha Baptist College. He said, I'm a church member. I baptized. He said, I read every word in this Bible. He said, four times I read every word in that Bible. He said, as that man preached tonight, something hit me. I realized I knew this, but I didn't know him. I'd never received Christ. He said, that's what I come for tonight. That salvation, receiving Christ. Not baptism, although if you're saved, you ought to get baptized. Not church membership, not a new morality. It's the same, I'm going to use the term, I don't, the same old Christ that will save you tonight. If you'll come to him. Number three, and I'm through in closing, very simple today. Disruption. Look in your Bible, interesting. Verse number 11. Here's this sacrifice that pictures Christ. Christ on the cross was a sacrifice for your sin. These animals were pictured as a coming sacrifice of Christ. Now look in your Bible at verse number 11. This great moment. Okay, Abraham's heard the voice of God. The sacrifice is complete. Verse 11. Look at it carefully. When the fowls came down upon the altar, who are those fowls? The Bible describes them as filthy birds. Dirty birds. Birds that fed on carrion and rottenness. That happens today. Somebody hears the gospel says, boy, I need Christ. Oh, I can almost hear the flutter of wings. All the fowls of hell come. You can get walked down that aisle. They'll think you're an idiot. Don't believe what that preacher says. Oh, yeah, you ought to get saved, but not now. Someday. And my friend, the fowls come. Jesus talked about the fowls come and snatch out the word of God. You don't do what you should have done. And you got a long, long time in eternity to regret. You did not come to Jesus Christ. Boy, it's a horrible thing to do. To reject him. Procrastination. Listen. 47 years I've been preaching. Not one time has one person walked up to me and said, hey, preach, guess what? Hey, Reverend, guess what? Today I made reservations in hell. I intend to... Nobody's ever told me that. Please believe me. I'm not proud of this. I don't think of folks this morning. Come to revival, raised your hand, walked out the door, rejected Christ. And right now, this Sunday morning, they're in the one place they never intended to be, the one place they never wanted to be. They're an inhabitant of the halls of hell. Why? One word, procrastination. Say, preacher, if I knew when to get saved, I'd do it. Here's your Bible. Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Your Bible says, present tense, it is time to seek the Lord. God said, friend, you ever want to get saved? Get saved today. I mentioned I never knew my father. I'm in the sixth grade. A man moved into our house, a godless man, a horrible man. He was a bartender. He came home drunk and beat my wife, my mother, and life was horrible, horrible. One night, Mom, he's supposed to be tending bar. Mother and I went to a movie. We come home, and he'd quit work early. We walked in the house, and it was just awful. He grabbed my mom and slapped her. He said, who are you out with? What man? She said, I just took Joe to the movie. She said, don't lie to me. He grabbed me, shoved me against the wall, put a butcher knife right there, and said, I'll cut your throat. Who is she with? Tell me. Life was. You don't have to tell me about that, buddy. I've been there. I want to tell you something. Joe Mark didn't find something better. I found someone better. Amen. When I found Jesus Christ. Life was wretched and miserable. And time went on, and pretty soon my mom threw him out. And he come back and he changed. He was doing pretty good. I came home from Bible college. I'd witnessed to him, but he wouldn't listen. And time went on. And I graduated from Bible college, got married, going to seminary in Tennessee. My wife and I came back to Illinois, Bloomington, where her parents lived. And they had asked my mother and that man, now they're married, to come over. We had a good time together. And the man said, well, I'm going out and start the car. It's starting to get dark. And so I followed him out, and he got in the car, and I said, I want you to know, I'm praying for you. He said, pray I get a better job. I said, no. I'm praying you get saved. And he broke. He started sobbing and crying. He said, I'm going to. I said, oh, let me show you. He said, no, not now. He said, I'm not lying to you, son. He said, I'm ashamed the way I treated you and your mother. He said, I want you to forgive me. I said, you are. He said, I'm going to get saved, but not now. I said, let me tell you. The Bible says now is the accepted time. He said, son, I got to take care of some things first. I said, no, Jesus Christ already took care of everything. I said, will you pray with me and accept him? He's crying. He's weeping. He said, son, I'm going to do it. I'm not lying to you. But not now. Not now. But they came out, got in the car, back to Macomb, Illinois. 3 days later, I'm working in Sears selling sporting goods in Chattanooga. The phone rang. I picked it up. It was my aunt. We talked a while. She said, I've got bad news. She said, Tibbetts had a heart attack and died. When she said that, it was like someone turned on a camera. I could see them saying, I'm not lying to you. I'm going to get saved, but not now. I'm going to get saved, but not now. I'm not lying. I'm going to get saved, but not now. For him, that was the showdown at sundown. Oh, friend, if you ever intend to get saved, do it today. Do it today. Bow your head for prayer. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Two questions. Number one, the most important question you'll ever hear in your life. More important than a marriage proposal. More important than a job proposal. The question is this. Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? If you're the wealthiest man in hell, you're a fool. If you're the most popular man in hell, you're a fool. How about it? Will you be honest? I've been as honest with you as I know how. With our heads bowed, he will say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. I'm not ready. Get ready. Nor will you miss heaven, but if that friend next to you stands by your grave, they know that you're in hell, you rejected Christ. Nothing could calm them. With our heads bowed, he will say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. I want you to pray for me. I'd be honored to do that. Now hear me. I will not point you out. I will not embarrass you. I give you my word. I will not try and drag you down an aisle. But you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm a Christian, but I'm concerned. Pray for me. Could I just see your hand right now? Up and right back down. Preacher, here's my hand because I'm not sure. Thank you. Is there anybody else? Preacher, I'm not sure. Include me in that prayer. Could I pray for you? Let me see your hand. Up and right back down. Nobody ever made reservations in hell. Remember that. If you got the slightest tug at your heart, I'll ask it one more time. Preacher, I don't know for sure, but I sure am concerned. You could pray for me. Could I see your hand? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. God bless your heart. Amen. Is there anybody else? I'm going to wait just a minute. You don't mind? You don't mind? Christian, pray. Who else? Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. As you pray for three friends, include me in the prayer. Anybody else? Up and right back down. I'll wait 10 seconds. This could be the showdown at sundown. Thank you. Question number two, I'm talking to Christians. You say, Brother Mark, I'm a Christian, but I haven't been living for God. I haven't been witnessing for God. My family is a heartbeat from hell, and I've never witnessed to them. I have friends, fishing buddies, hunting pals, shopping, people I go shopping with, and I failed. I never told them about Christ. But God spoke to my heart today. There's some things in my life, like those animals that came, that's garbage and carnage, and I need to confess it and get right with God, that God might use me. Brother Mark, I'm a Christian. And God spoke to my heart. There are changes I need to make, priorities I need to establish. Preacher, pray for me as a Christian. Can I see your hand right now, believer? Up and right. Oh, God bless you. They're still going up. Thank God. Thank God. They're still going up. There's a gentleman. God bless you. Ma'am, God bless you. Father, we're thankful for your presence. And God, I plead in Jesus' name. May the Holy Ghost bring intense conviction. Today, God, might we see some people flee from the wrath to come and make a decision they'll never regret by accepting Jesus Christ. Then I pray for a great number of Christians you spoke to. Oh, God, may we not be able to escape it, to put it out of our mind, to kind of fluff it off. Oh, may it go deeper and deeper this week. So deep, we'll invite coworkers and neighbors and friends and share our testimony with someone. May your presence and your power fill this place. Sit there, your head bowed, your eyes closed. In a minute, we're going to do what they do every service here. I'm going to have you stand with your head bowed and your eyes closed. When I have you stand, the instrument's going to play whatever songs you want. We're not going to sing. If you're a Christian right with God, I want you to pray. P-R-A. Don't play peekaboo. Pray. Pray for some dear folks. This is their hour of decision. Pray for some Christians if your heart's right. They need to come. Listen carefully. If you're not sure you're on the way to heaven, whether you raised your hand or not, I'm going to invite you to do what 95% of us have already done. I'm going to invite you to step out of that seat in the newest aisle, make your way to the front. The pastor will meet you right there. Just tell him, I'm not sure. I want to make sure. Now, what's going to happen? Nothing mystical or magical. Somebody will take a Bible, a man with a man, lady with a lady. A couple comes. A man will take both of you in a room, open the Bible, go over the plan of salvation. Very simple. You're a sinner. Because of your sin, you're condemned. In spite of your sin, Jesus loved you. On the cross, he died for you. But to be a Christian, you must accept him. And if you want to get saved, somebody would love to pray with you and help you invite Christ into your heart, that salvation. He that hath the Son hath life. You say, what's somebody going to say? Well, people have their head bowed and their eyes closed. But I'll tell you something. People will rejoice if you come to get saved. Heaven will rejoice. The Bible says Christ rejoices. God rejoices. Everybody's happy. The bad news, you stand there, hell will laugh at you. And maybe forever. You're among friends. Somebody cared enough to invite you. Not just to a meeting. They invited you. You might find Christ. If you want to get saved, come down. The pastor will be right here. Just tell him. Somebody will take you down. I'm talking to a number of Christians. What are you going to do? Well, I know. I didn't ask what you know, believer. I asked, what are you going to do? Number one, you need to confess that sin. If God's speaking to your heart, don't be embarrassed. Rejoice. The great God of heaven spoke to your heart to make something out of you. If you're a believer, you want to come and pray, you can come to the front row and sit. You can kneel at the front row if you want to. But don't haul your garbage home. Get rid of it. Confess it. Leave it. Walk out the door with the spring of your step and the power of God to bring others to Christ. That's the invitation. Everybody in this auditorium right now, please. Stand to your feet. Stand right up, everybody. Just stand right up. Come on, stand up.